Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Cindy Baldwin.
And you are listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework people. Tonight is the stitch hour. We're going to do some stitch and chat. We'll have some giveaways. 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel. Join us. And if you missed last Wednesday's show with Krista West of Avlia Folk Embroidery, go back and listen to that or watch it because much enabling went on there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, her cushions are so beautiful.
Yep. Much enabling. Yeah. Oh, you know, and that was something that I was going to bring up during the show is, you know, you can take cross-stitch patterns and do them as needlepoint. Mm-hmm. On needlepoint canvas, and some of her stuff would be absolutely beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So I've seen that done more than once where you know, just take a cross stitch chart and just do tent or you know, basket weave or whatever. And a lot of those shapes, you can see those like Gene Hilton type stitches. Could easily replace several of those shapes and symbols and stuff that she uses easily. You could have some fun. But,
Now you got my wheels turning.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Yep. Happy to help. Yep. But yeah, I've seen that, and they're quite. It comes out just fine. You know, you just instead of crosses, you just do. Basket weave or throw in some other stitch. I mean, then once you're on canvas, you know, the world opens in terms of road stitches, you know, whatever. And use the design and do it on needlepoint canvas. Yep. It'll work.
Mm, yeah.
There you go. You're welcome, Cindy. Glad to help. Glad to help. So that's 8 o'clock. Now, Sunday's guest, This was special. Michelle Anae Morgan is the artist, and her business is Mutually Assured Deconstruction. And growing up during the Cold War, you know, it's Mutually Assured Destruction is right. Yeah, but it's Mutually Assured Deconstruction, and so Sunday's show, she's the guest Sunday. And then she's going to join us next Wednesday night.
Oh, great.
Yeah, because people, we got to look at and talk about her art. She is something else, but it's a heck of a story about how she still does needlework to deal with alcoholism, depression, coming out, as a you know, gay woman, single mom, and she in somewhere in one of the writings, she makes the statement that she was basically drunk her entire childhood, you know, that kind of a thing. Lost her dad at the worst possible time, and he was her rock, and it was needlework that got her through, and kept her from, as she said, doing more destructive things. And she's sober and. Happily married and on and on and on. And at the very core of it is needlework. And it's a cool story. And her artwork is unbelievable. She has one piece that's all black on black that is, I want it bad. Yeah. But, just a terrific lady. And we had a great conversation. So she's Sunday. And then next a week from tonight, then she will be our guest, and we'll get to look at all the pieces. Now we've got an hour and 15 minutes, and the black on black one, that'll be the first half hour, and then we'll go on to other. No, yeah. It's so cool. It's so cool.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. So Michelle Anae Morgan will be our guest Sunday, and then next Wednesday night. So plan on that. Really a talented, wonderful lady, and needlework. We've talked so many times about needlework helping people in various situations, and she is at the far end of that spectrum in terms of what she went through and held it together, and she's on both feet and moving forward these days, and embroidery needlework is a big part of why. So,
you know, I so many people say, oh, I don't have the patience to do that. But, you know, if you're kind of short on patience, I think maybe needlework is a way to develop some patience.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
You know, because it lets you sit down and focus on moving the needle through the thread or moving the thread and needle through the fabric.
Yeah, however you do it. Yeah, whatever works.
Yeah, however you do it. you know, we were talking to somebody at a coffee shop the other day, and she said that, and, you know, we started talking about, you know, how it's calming and all of that. She, by the time we were done, she was kind of like, oh, yeah, maybe. I might think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for it. I mean, you know, many, many people have found it to be their way to decompress at night. Stressful job, get the heart rate and the blood pressure to go down, and it helps. And well, it's the Krista West meditative stitching. We did that whole series on meditative stitching, and you know, just patterns like the ones that she marks as meditative that are just repetitive, and you just sit there and just escape. And it's cool. Yep. So
yeah.
Michelle Morgan will be Sunday and next Wednesday, so don't miss it. It's really, and her art is, does really two kinds. She does what I would call abstract art, where it's not anything, but it's something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has a bunch of embroidery that is her release. Like what one of them is symbols or something of my relationship with alcohol. And another one has to do with her being gay, and you know, those kinds of things that just help her express and deal with. And so really two very different kinds of art, but they're quite quite powerful. So yep, good stuff. I'd like to say I'm working on the Saint-Tropez, but last week we had to get a magazine to the printer and go away for our son's, for the family baby shower for our son and daughter-in-law. So, yeah.
Excuses. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was fun. Everybody, family members and friends all got to go, and we had it in a restaurant, and it was a nice place. It was in the town we used to live in, so we knew what we were getting. But beautiful day. Yeah, the whole bit. And our son, when they got back home to Phoenix yesterday or 2 days ago or whenever it was, said, oh, that was really, really a great afternoon. And the reality of having a baby is starting to now set in. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And when is she due?
January.
Okay.
Yep. So.
So it's not that far away.
No, it's not. First one. And there's four guys, our son, Kevin, and three other guys. And when we lived in Dundee, all the time they were in, a lot of high school and then college, they would have game night. And our house was the game night place. So they do it usually once a month. And they'd play board games. I forget what they were, but, you know, rather involved ones, not Dungeons and Dragons, but similar.
Uh-huh.
And so they would come over and, you know, bring food or take a break and go get food and beer and whiskey or whatever. And they would spend the night, till midnight a lot of times playing games. And so, you know, we got to know the other then boys, now young men. And two of the three others are also having babies, both of them in November. So it's, you know, they're all on to that next phase. And so it was cool to see them all just great young men that are, you know, going through those stages of life, and it's fun to watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So, great. Yep. And I'm sure next year we'll be making more than one trip to Phoenix because
I'm sure you will.
There's a baby out there.
Yeah. Do they know whether it's a boy or a girl?
Girl. Yeah, it's a girl. Yep.
Oh, cool.
So we'll have two grandsons and a granddaughter. Yep.
Great.
Yeah. So, yep. So that was fun, but
so you haven't worked on Saint-Tropez?
Nope, and I took my travel bag of stitching, but there was no time. No time. Mm. Marga had planned visits with other friends, and so, yeah. I hauled it, but never opened it. Mm-hmm.
So I have the center on the big one done.
Uh-huh.
But when I took a grayscale photo of it, I've got lights and darks. I didn't have any mediums.
Oh.
So I couldn't find anything in my stash that works, so I did break down and buy some threads.
Oh.
I didn't buy, I think I just bought 3 or 4 threads.
Yeah.
And I haven't had a chance to sit down and take out what I don't like and put in the new threads. But yeah.
But I like the way it's looking. You've identified, though, where you're going to put the medium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still in the very center there, crossing the long satin stitch things, doing the ties. And I tried several things, and then I have a bunch of petite, very velvet laying out on my table right now to decide what I want to do, because I think I can do those ties in petite, very velvet and have it look pretty neat, but I don't have the colors I want, so I think I'm going to be in the same go buy stuff. But then in my collection of stuff, there was this ultra suede.
Hmm.
And it's kind of a flat ribbon, and mm-hmm. it looks like suede. It's a Rainbow Gallery. I'm sure they don't make it anymore. But there's a couple colors in here that I've just got 1, 2, 3. I got 5 different colors, but there's a couple that might work because I was looking for something that was matte or dull, and to go over the silk. So I might give those a try and see.
Yeah, I didn't think about I liked what you, I saw your picture, and I liked the contrasting colors better than the same color, which I just, because that's what Dan did, I just used the same color. I didn't think about using a contrasting color or a contrasting texture.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good idea.
Well, I'm definitely going to do a contrasting texture, and I'll see about the color. But the suede really caught my eye. I didn't realize I had it. And because it's in that pile of Rainbow Gallery stuff that I got from a friend that we've been giving away on the Wednesday shows.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I kept stuff aside. Like there was a whole bunch of silk. I kept that. Sorry, folks.
Uh-huh.
I kept it. And then I didn't realize I had the ultra suede. So because that's flat,
Yeah, it might be too big for your Congress cloth, though.
Yeah, exactly. I know that's the reality I'm trying to ignore. Yeah.
You don't happen to have any straw silk?
I do.
Because you could split that.
You're right. Ooh, that's an idea. Oh, Cindy.
You're welcome.
Oh. Oh, my. Yes. Okay. You've done it. I got to play now. Because, yeah, that splits quite nicely.
Uh-huh. And it's not dull exactly, but it doesn't have the same sheen as the silk does.
Oh.
And it's not twisted. So you'd get, a different texture, certainly, than silk pearl.
Oh, didn't even think of that. Yeah, I got a bunch of those. Oh, all right. Playtime.
Yeah, now that I think of it, I do too, but I don't think I have any colors that go with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And the shop that we went to doesn't carry that.
Oh.
Well, it didn't even occur to me then.
Yeah, the 2 painted canvas shops that are near me, they have a lot of it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I might just pick up my threads and go over there and grab a table and see what I can do. Ha ha. Oh, that's a good idea. I got to test some. I'll test it first, see if it's going to work. And then, but yeah, you're right. Those will split right down the middle. No problem at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And it's softer than your suede.
Right.
Suede probably is going to be.
Yeah, because it's kind of a heavy feeling and looking thread, the suede and the petite, very velvet. Yeah. It just has a heavy to it, and that's not a. It's such a small area; it's not going to hold up well to heavy. But oh man, that straw. Oh
I yeah. Can't,
all right. We're going to end the show now. I have to go play now. All right. You did it. Got to try. Mm-hmm. Good one.
Now I want to get back to mine too. I've been working on pumpkins.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I've got too many other canvas things that I have stuff for.
Yeah.
Too many projects.
Yep. Okay. You mentioned that not too long ago you bought a pair of craft optics. And I have to say that caught my ear when you said that. So I want to hear about them. But the reason is I have the Halo battery, and I have a smaller travelable magnifier light that works very well for me. But there's a lot of times where setting that up is, when you're traveling, when you're not at home, is
a pain in the butt.
That. Yes. Yeah. And so when you mentioned the craft optics, because I saw those at that one brand at the railroad show that I went to, model railroad show. So what brand did you get? Because now, see, I'm thinking. Mm-hmm.
It is Craft Optics.
That's the brand. Okay.
Right. And it's all one word. The O is capitalized in optics, but it's Craft Optics. And I don't know where I first saw them. It might have been in a needlework magazine or someplace, but I've been looking at them for a while. They're expensive.
Yeah.
But I splurged earlier this year because they had a sale and I had a little extra money and went, and because my Dazor floor lamp is kind of failing and those are expensive to replace and it's not portable.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been stitching in libraries and coffee shops and, you know, different places. So I wanted something that I could just, like you say, take along with me. So they come in a beautiful little case. And so what it is a pair of glasses with your prescription. And they will actually contact your eye doctor to get your prescription, or you can just provide it to them when you order your glasses, whichever you want to do. And in my case, I wear progressive bifocals. And their optometrist called me and asked me what I wanted for the top part of the glasses, because she's obviously worked with enough needle workers that she knows that we're looking at charts, you know. Yeah. Kind of. Basically, what she wanted to know was if I wanted to be able to watch TV through the upper part of my glasses. And I said, no, I want to be able to see my chart at arm's length. So the glasses are regular bifocals. They're not progressive. And then they have.
Okay. All right. Let me stop you right there, because I have progressive bifocals too. Okay.
Yeah.
So by regular bifocals, meaning that there's the line. Mm-hmm. For the magnified up close part, and then the top is just flat glass or clear glass or not magnified, or
it's whatever your whatever prescription you want it to be.
Okay, so there's two distinct areas of magnification then.
Right.
Okay.
And then they have permanently attached scopes.
Yeah.
And they adjust them so that I can adjust them if I want to, but they adjust them at Craft Optics so that you can see one. You know, they're like binoculars.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you adjust the binoculars so you have one field of vision, or a microscope.
Right.
It's the same way with the scopes on the glasses. They are adjusted so that you should just see one circle of the magnification.
Yeah.
Then they have, and this is separate. You can get them without the light, but they have an LED light that attaches right at the bridge. And I just bought the whole package. the glasses and the LED light. And they are great. Everything fits in this case that's, I don't know, it's about the size of a book. A little bit, a thick book.
Yeah.
And the battery lasts, well, I used them for 3 days at the Hazel Blomkamp class.
Mm-hmm.
And the battery was on the light. It has four little lights. It was on the last light on the last day.
Just made
it. Up like 6 hours a day.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Questions then. Okay. So you have effectively a pair of your glasses, lens wise, a pair of your glasses. And then in front of those are little binocular lenses. And then in the center is an LED lamp with four LEDs in it.
Now, the LED lamp is only one light. The little tiny lights are on the I don't know what you call it, where you plug the light into the charging port, the battery. The battery. It's the battery. Okay. It's the battery.
Okay. Oh, that was what was down. Oh, it was your battery meter was down to one. Okay.
Right. Sorry. The battery meter. Yes.
Oh, okay. I got it now. Okay. So the one, the light that you actually see with, then that's in the center.
Mm-hmm.
And it has
two brightness levels.
Oh, okay.
You can do really bright or a little less bright.
And for you, really bright is the best, or?
I just leave it on really bright.
Okay.
I haven't really tried the less bright because it doesn't really seem like, I mean, I don't see that much difference in it.
Yeah.
So I just use the full bright.
Okay. So this then, see, cause this is what I'm, all right, this is what I'm getting to. So then this would allow you to, when you go to an event, to just simply sit down, pull out a hoop or frame or whatever, put those glasses on and go to town.
Yep.
No setup, really, effectively no setup. Just flip the switch and you're in business.
Yep.
Yeah, see.
So the owner of the company is a dentist.
Oh.
And he's been using them in his dental practice for years and years and years. And my dentist and the hygienist at my dentist's office use them too. And they've found... the dental profession has found that it improves their posture so much. They don't have to crouch over a person's mouth. They've got the light, you know, maybe they don't really need prescription lenses, but they've got the magnification and the light so they can sit up straight and see what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that transfers over to your craft. Hmm. You don't have to hunch over, you know, something.
Right.
You know, you can hold it at a normal position. And they ask you these kinds of questions when you order them. You know, what they've got a couple of different distances because, you know, some people are doing different crafts that are, you know, they're doing it at a farther distance than we are with needlework.
Yeah.
And, you know, they show woodworkers and painters and jewelry makers and all kinds of different people are using these. Anyway, he had so many of his patients asking him about these glasses that I guess he decided to just make it, you know, sell them for crafters.
Yeah. Why not? Yep.
Right. So I haven't had any problems with mine at all. They work great. The prescription is great, but they do have, you know, all kinds of guarantees. Yeah. They'll work with you if they aren't right. And in fact, I didn't get them when I was expecting to get them. And they let me know it was because the lenses weren't quite right the first time.
Oh.
So they, you know, sent it back to be reground or have new ones ground or whatever.
Yeah.
And okay. If your prescription changes, they will change them for I think it's less, it might be like $90.
Oh.
It's, so you can replace the lenses for a reasonable amount of money.
Yeah. So you, so the majority of your investment is still good, even if your eyes change, yeah.
Correct.
Right. Heavy on your head?
You just have to send. Sure. No. No. So they're titanium frames, so they're very light, and they come with a lanyard attached and a little spring slide thing on the lanyard. And they, what they tell you to do is to slide that up so that it fits not really, really tight, but close fitting on your head so that it takes the weight. The cord from the light attaches to a little clip on the frame, on the sidebar of a of the frames.
Mm-hmm.
And then you attach that. There's a clip on that. And you attach that. You can put it on your collar or whatever, but one of the, they send little videos out, you know, to show you how to use them. And the guy suggested clipping the lanyard to, or the cable to the lanyard that, you know, is attached to your glasses. So that takes the weight of the glasses and the battery. And the battery you can put on your, it's got a clip on it, so you can clip it to a pocket or your belt.
Oh, it's or separate. Whatever. Oh.
Yeah, the battery pack is separate. You unplug it. It's got the LED light has a USB cable, and you plug that into the battery pack, and then, you know, the, just turn it on.
So that, and, well, see, that's great because then that makes the battery replaceable. Yeah.
Right, and you can also, I mean, I did this. I ran the battery all the way out at home stitching. And so I just plugged the battery in and kept stitching.
There we go. Sure. Sure.
You know, oh. So if you're out, you've got your halo and you're out someplace and you run your battery on the craft optics down, you can just plug right into the halo,
yep.
Plug the halo into your craft optics battery and keep going.
Oh, they thought of it all. Mm-hmm. Now the,
plus,
the,
it has the USB, it has the C connector and the older charging cable connector.
Uh-huh. Both?
Both.
Oh, my word. Yeah. Now, the little binocular magnifier things, is the magnification focus, is that adjustable?
You can, the focus isn't adjustable. You can only adjust the distance.
Okay.
But they recommend that you not do that.
Yeah, because they've already planned that all out for you.
They've already dialed it in for you.
Wow. Hmm. Hmm. Okay. Because see, the ones that I looked at, they were adjustable, and he adjusted them for me. And the ones I had were, they had a frame that if you wanted to wear your glasses and mm-hmm. so that, you know, and that worked, but you know, I, so often with that kind of stuff, like standing at a booth in a trade show and you try them on, you know, that's a whole lot different from 3 hours later stitching.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered about after the fact, I wondered about whether I would like having a second, effectively a second pair of glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
So this all is done as one unit.
Yeah. So I wear, my eyes are real sensitive to light, and I wear sunglasses called fitovers. They just fit over my regular glasses. If I wear both of them for a long time, it gives me a headache.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the fitovers compare to the weight of what you were looking at, but it is extra weight on your nose.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. All right. Because, see, that's the thing, you know, like, it, for instance, when we went to Illinois this past weekend, Mark and I split the drive about in half, and so that other, you know, that when I'm not driving, that would be an opportunity to stitch. But, you know, I need the mag for what the stuff I have. I mean, I need magnifier, and yeah.
Now,
okay.
I you know, it would be hard to justify the cost for occasional use.
Right. Right.
But I'm using mine all the time now. I still turn the Dazer lamp on, but that's more just for general light, because I don't, my table lamp doesn't have a good light in it, a good bulb. It's dim.
Yeah.
So just for kind of general lighting, I turn the Dazer on, but I don't use the magnification on it really much anymore, because it's just a pain to adjust.
Yeah.
And to just keep it where I want it.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's the other part. You know, I've got to think about how, because I'm not traveling near like I was, and I have to think about whether that's even a good investment, because I made a pretty good investment to set up a room to do that, to comfortably stitch whenever I want. So,
Well, what I've used for years is a kind of a headband type magnifier, and you can get them at any big box store.
Yeah.
It's a plastic headband with lenses that snap in, and it comes with three different strength lenses, I think. And that works pretty well. It doesn't have any light with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it just, you just put it on your head and stitch.
Right. Right.
And those are inexpensive.
Yeah. Hmm. There's always something, isn't there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's always something. All right. I mean, I'm going to take a look, but I think I'm going to have to talk to myself pretty hard to, if I was traveling, you know, a couple times a month like I was before the pandemic, you know, it'd be a pretty easy call, but I'm not so sure now.
Of course, it would also allow you to sit in the living room or wherever Marga is and watch TV.
Right. Right. And oftentimes I sit there and think, well, I'd like to be upstairs stitching, but also want to spend time with Marga, and we have shows we enjoy, Jeopardy and those kinds of things. And so
maybe those are your living room glasses.
There we go. Yeah, and then I could pile up a whole bunch of stuff next to my chair in the living room, and get that look. Like, I thought we had a room for that stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, you just put your use your travel piece.
Okay.
Just your band sampler.
Yep.
Or whatever, you know, just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have a whole stack of stuff, but you can still be there and enjoy each other's company. And
mm-hmm.
But if you get on their mailing list, I think they have sales from time to time.
Yeah.
So, you know, just get on their mailing list and, you know, take advantage of it when they have a sale.
Okay. All right. Gonna have to think about this, because, you know, it's just appealing. Just appealing, mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I thought about it for a long time too, and I talked to somebody in CyberPointers. She happened to be out at the ANG seminar, and she has macular degeneration, early onset macular degeneration. Yeah. She's had it for years and years and years, and the craft optics are the only way that she can stitch.
Uh huh.
And she said, I just wish I'd bought them before my eyesight deteriorated so much.
Yeah.
She's legally blind. But the craft optics help her enough that she can still stitch.
See, that's cool in its own right. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. My mother-in-law had that. That's not something you want to sign up for. That's for sure.
Yeah. My mom has it too. And she doesn't want to spend the money on these.
Oh.
So, and you know, you never really know for sure what will help and what won't help.
Right, right.
So, but I will say she has started her Saint-Tropez.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really frustrated because she can't count it right. She's just doing the long diagonal stitches around the center.
Right.
And I don't know. She told me, I think 2 weeks ago, she had me look at it and I found her mistake. And she took everything out. And then I asked her how she was doing last week. And she said, I can't count it right. She's struggling with it.
Mm. Does she have the basting stitches in?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yep. I think maybe she used floss for the basting, and I think maybe she's having a hard time distinguishing between the floss and the canvas thread.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But so I didn't look at it this weekend to see if I could figure out what she was doing wrong, because she said she gets like three sides in, and then the last side doesn't match.
Doesn't compute, huh?
Yeah.
Huh.
So she's struggling with it a little bit.
Yeah, well, stitch that last side for her, and then she can move on to something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that, I forget, one of the first ones I did with Gay Ann, and she said baste, you know, putting basting stitches in it. No, I don't need to do that. And yeah, I had to tear it out. And then I thought, well, I'm just gonna just listen to Gay Ann. I put them in, and then I knew right where to go. And then, once you like that little center section, once you get those long stitches in, you don't need that basting anymore, because you know where everything's going. But yeah.
Although it can help you count.
Oh yeah, no, that's I left it in until I got the long diagonals in, because it keeps you from getting goofed up. Yep.
Well, even beyond that.
Oh, does
you
it?
Know, yeah, I mean, if you've basted it at a regular, you know, four threads or five threads or whatever, you can help you count and remember where you're supposed to be.
Oh, I see. Oh, I didn't do it that. I just slopped it in just to get a straight thread through there. Yeah.
So I don't generally grid cross stitch pieces.
Oh, I don't.
I don't grid. I don't grid needlepoint at all. But on cross stitch, I do. And my rule is, if I have to tear something out twice, I'm gridding it.
Okay. Yeah.
So I it's usually. I mean, I'm not doing things that where the motifs are kind of out in the air like you are with the samplers. Mm. But I started one of the pumpkin projects I started had a border and then some words inside the border. And I thought I had the border right and it matched. But then the words, I couldn't seem to get the words in the right spot. Place in the border, the letters in the right place in the border.
Oh, uh-huh.
So at that point, you know, by the time I have to take it out a couple of times, I fear I've wasted my time and I might as well waste a little bit more and grid it. And I use metallic thread, machine embroidery thread for gridding. It's really small. It's round, so it kind of rolls when the needle comes near it, so the needle won't pierce it.
Yeah.
And it's easy to pull out.
Okay.
And I grid 10 threads or 20 threads if I'm doing over two.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, and that's, you know, I don't grid anything, but even doing samplers, I've thought from time to time as much double and triple counting as I do to move from motif to motif, I'd probably save myself a bunch of time if I gridded it, but I just don't want to, so.
Well, and sometimes I just use pins.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, count my way over with a pin and put a pin in, you know, wherever I'm supposed to start.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that. Like if I have to go a great distance, I'll count 10 stitches and put in a needle, you know, get a 22 or something, a bunch of them, and then I'll have a whole bunch of needles all along. Yeah, I'll do that too. But mm-hmm. And you think, well, then I should have just gritted it, it would have been easier. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. A million ways to do it.
Yes.
Yep.
Whatever works for you.
Yes. Leslie Rinchen Wangmo, we did a couple shows with her, her Threads of Awakening book. Mm-hmm. And she's touring.
I saw that.
Yeah, she's in the Midwest this time of year. So she's October 9 in Chicago, Fitchburg, Wisconsin, the 11th, Bloomington, Indiana, the 13th. Well, she must have a tour bus or something.
Really?
Paducah, Kentucky on the 18th. And then she heads to the Carolinas after that. But go to threadsofawakening.com and see if she's going to be where you want to drive to go see her, because that'd be pretty cool to see. I actually am thinking about driving to Paducah, Kentucky. It's like 3 hours, I think.
Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, might just do that. It'd just be, you know, as much as we talk to her, it'd be cool to actually meet her mm-hmm. and to see her presentation, because she's done a couple of videos where she'll read something from the book, and she's just got so many stories to tell that it's got to be interesting. But, yeah.
I'm sure. And it's always fun to go to author readings, you know, whatever it is they've written. I always enjoy those.
Yeah.
It's just fun to talk to the authors and, you know, listen to them read excerpts from their book. And
yeah. Yeah. I've only done a couple, but you get some extra insights that you wouldn't get just from reading the book. Yeah.
And then they sign the book for you.
Of course. Of course. Yep. So check that out. Threads of Awakening. There's a podcast, and she did a Wednesday show with us. They're on the, they're like all of them, they're available. But if you're going to check her website, it's threadsofawakening.com, and she has a whole schedule there. And she's adding to it all the time, because when she started out, she had just a few on the West Coast, because that's where she lives, and now she's got quite a tour. So that's the thing with books, though. You know, I've known a couple people who've written books, and you got to go out and do this kind of stuff, and it takes time and energy and expense. But if you're going to mm-hmm. sell books, you got to go do it.
Agreed.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'll sell to your family and friends, and it'll pretty much die out. No, you got to do the marketing.
Yeah, especially something like this book that might be considered a niche, you know, embroidery or sacred or whatever, you know, it's not going to be something that's going to be on one of those front tables in Barnes and Noble.
No, no, it's like, not a John Grisham book. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you got to go out and do it. So, and she is, I mean, she's making her way across the country, and got to be exhausting. Because obviously it's what, Chicago to Wisconsin and then back down to Indiana, then over to Kentucky, and then over, I think her next one was South Carolina. And so, you know, all those are close enough to drive, and yeah.
Right. So she's given herself about a day to get to each location.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. 9th and then the 11th and the 13th, then the 18th. And yep. Yeah. Yep. You see the country though, don't you?
Yeah, and it's a beautiful time of the year to be driving around.
Yep. So, pluses to it. But, I'm tempted to see if Margo will join me for a trip to Paducah, because that would be, because there's a needlework store in Paducah, too. What is that? Something of Paducah. Yeah. Ooh.
I was just going to say, you have to look and see if there's a needlework store there.
Oh, there is. I know there is. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Hmm. Okay.
You could probably find a museum.
You think? Some whiskey.
Oh, sure.
I don't do the whiskey, but I'm sure I could get some. Yeah. Yeah, that was.
We found a. I don't remember what it's called, when we were in Columbus, Ohio, a few years ago, for a mystery and Needle Arts Mystery, whatever, the one that Debbie Rowley does. The restaurants there had a beer that was aged in whiskey barrels.
Really?
It's really good.
Mm.
So look for that.
Okay. That sounds dangerous.
And they served it in like a snifter sort of a glass. Oh, it was really good. It was really good.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, some of our local breweries, we have quite a bit of craft brewery going on in Iowa between beer and whiskey and a little bit of wine. And there's a brewery not too far from me. It's between here and Cedar Rapids that works with some of the beer brewing companies. They let them use their barrels to put their beer in.
Yeah.
You know, after they can't the whiskey.
Yeah.
So I haven't tried any of the local ones, but it's a thing.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know what in St. Louis. I'm sure there are craft brewers around, but I'm sure if they get successful at all, Anheuser-Busch just buys them. So,
yeah, probably.
Because I've seen a couple of beers that are made to look like craft beer, and then if you read the fine print, yeah, it's just Anheuser-Busch bought them. Yep. Because they can.
Right.
Yeah. And nobody objects because everybody drinks Busch Budweiser beer here all over the place. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's interesting. All right. Now, three reasons to go to Paducah on October 18. Alcohol, needlework, and Leslie Wangmo.
And don't forget a museum for Marga.
Yes. Yeah, we'll throw that in. Yep. Little museum thing. Yep. We'll throw in. Yeah.
Or whatever else she wants to do.
Yeah. Yeah, at some point, it's, yeah, whatever you want to do. I'm open. Trust me. Yep.
But I'm sure it's not going to be the first time you've dragged her someplace for needlework.
No. Not even close. Nope. All right. I think we'll call it right there.
Okay.
I think we will. So join us tonight for a little Stitch and Chat. Sunday, Michelle Anae Morgan, a fascinating story. And then she'll be with us a week from tonight for the, we look at her. Yeah, she'll be with us live. We'll look at her art, talk about it.
Cool.
Terrific lady. Really fascinating individual. And then now I have to go break out the silk straw and see what we can do with it. Let's see, we've enabled each other quite a bit here.
Yes, we have.
In this hour, money will be spent. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what we do. All right, thanks for listening.
Bye.